Okay, I would like to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Manton Regional Water. It is Thursday, July 17th at 6:08 p.m. Do we have any public input?
No.
Excellent. Do we need to go into executive
We
session?
do not.
Excellent. Okay, then on to the consent agenda. Does anyone have any changes to the June 10th minutes? No changes. Does anyone have any questions on the check register?
I did not.
No.
Ian, do you have any questions?
Just a question on the Summit Park well 5. Was that planned maintenance or did something go down?
I saw something for a Well 5 panel, an XRFM.
Yeah, panel customized plan. It's the electrical upgrades for Well 5.
And there was a starter pump for 10,000.
It's probably the well, soft start for the well. But yes, that was all planned capital stuff for this year.
Electric power, somewhat well, five starter for pump
Yeah.
and five.
I also had a question on RMS Energy Company. What is NEDA maintenance testing?
You didn't ask about the admin. It's the electrical standards. They tested transformers, circuit breakers, and a bunch of stuff down at the substation around Los Canyon.
Okay, any other questions on the check register? And then it looks like we've got a couple of surplus vehicles.
Yes, we've just received our two last new normal trucks. We still have a dump truck coming this year, but we got two Chevy 1500s, which are put into the fleet. So we're taking two trucks that were being driven by employees and putting them into the surplus pool for the seasonals to drive. So the trucks the seasonals were driving, we can surplus now. They're both 2012 Fords, not CNGs, just kind of their normal set up, and we're going to be parking them over at Silver Creek so employees can look at them and get some bids. We looked at pricing, kind of saw that range. Might definitely be some interest in one of them. One of them, we just discovered the power steering went out, so that might curtail the interest in that one a little bit, but we've decided to not fix it, to just sell it as is or take it down to auction. So yeah, they're old trucks. Seasonals have been driving them, but now seasonals have better trucks to drive.
Right.
And I just included in the memo, we've always talked about it, but in the memo in the italics is the actual policy. So you can kind of see why we come to you guys and things like that. Because no matter what the vehicle is, if we're selling it to an employee, it has to go through you for your equipment, maybe not so much, but.
Well, probably not as many people in the market for a backhoe.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Steve, I definitely appreciated that. I'm just curious, depending on how you interpret it's almost as though the price of the replacement equipment dictates whether or not you guys need to come to us, as opposed to the price of the equipment being sold.
Yeah, I could maybe see how it could be read that way. I'd read it more that
This is in C right
yes.
there, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's here nor there. I definitely appreciate being able to see the chapter and verse. So,
Okay.
Surface flip machine is replaced by you.
I just feel
I
like
think maybe it's, it might even be a comma, like whose replacement value exceeds $10,000, comma, and surplus motor vehicle.
yeah, I think that might be right. Yeah, anything over 10, we go. Equipment, machinery, whatever we ask, and any vehicle we ask
Yeah.
is kind of how it's been interpreted and done over the years. So, all right,
Okay,
should we fix that? in the next go round through the.
Yeah, yeah, we'll make a note of that the next time we update our policies.
I mean, I would hate to just see a an audit finding where a motor that's totally fried needs to get.
Yeah, because the replacement motor is $50,000. And,
right.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Any other questions on the consent agenda? We have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. That's unanimous. And now on to Steve. Steve's got some amazing numbers to show us today.
So probably the big theme is we had a July and June. Usage was crazy. So revenue was more what we would have expected in July, but we got it in June. And so we are quite a bit over budget. Right now, as you can see, total revenue for the second quarter is $9.3 million, which is about $2 million better than planned. About $1 million of that is from water sales, and the other $1 million is impact fees and just earnings, things like that. So as we kind of – that's the theme. Usage was way up and revenue was way up just because now, we did send out bills. We have seen some people calling and saying, oh, my heck, you know, but so hopefully we'll get some more conservation, or at least we won't have another peak. Sam could speak to this, too, but we basically came within 2% of our normal peak in June. And our normal peak usually doesn't happen until mid-July. Our peak usage day, Sam, was that right? We were within 2% of our normal peak.
I think it was within 1%.
So like our source production, looking on the source side, not Steve said on the demand side, our July 24 number was within 1% of the highest production day in June of this year.
Yeah. As you recall, we did put in some pretty aggressive conservation rates. So it'll be interesting to see if behavior kind of changes when we build July. Or at least, hopefully, like I said, stay flat. Expenses are looking good. We're about 5.3% above last year, about where we expected to be, and a little bit below budget for this year. Lost Canyon has had a lot of repairs, so they're running a little hot, but everybody else is doing fine on their budgets. And as a district, we're doing fine. So this doesn't – this one that Chris has just pulled up, the water sales – this is for the 6 months, so it smooths in June a little bit, let's say, because the over-under of residential for 758,000 through June, basically that all happened in in June, because we were pretty close to budget. May was a little over, but almost all of that happened. You can see the other big ones is irrigation. And irrigation golf were also well above budget because, one, everybody started a little earlier in May, and then June, say it one more time, June looked like July in a lot of ways. So that's why we're $1.1 million over on what is water sales. When we get down to the graph, just so you know, that graph doesn't include Chris Bell for just a second. I didn't highlight the Weaver-based regionalization and Park City wheeling, I never include in the graph because it's kind of a different animal. But the graph that we usually look at the very end includes all these other categories. Let's go ahead and go down. Expenses, like I said, guess we're 6.4% under budget. That's better. Or 5.3 if you look at all expenses, and 5.2 above last year. So, again, right where we normally plan around that 5%, 4 to 5% expense increases.
Do you expect to have more expenses, though, with the more usage?
We'll have some more chemical. The power, Unfortunately, Rocky Mountain Power is not nearly as diligent about billing at the end of every month as we are. So I'm still waiting to see some power bills. So I did my best estimates based on usage and historical, but until I actually see those, we might have a little bit more pushed in there. But I tried to put that in the numbers through it. Let's go ahead and, oh, the cash one, as you'll see, we went down about $1.3 million from last month. Again, almost all of that is coming out of other restricted funds as we made two big payments, actually went out in June on the building, one for about $1.4 million and one for about $600,000. The other drop you'll see in district reserves held by the trustee, that was because of the mid-year payments. Most of our big bond payments are December 15th, but there are some that come out on June 15th. So that's why the two negatives that brought down the cash. All right, let's go ahead and go down a little bit more, Chris, if you don't mind. Since it's a quarterly report, I put in the capital budget, what we're seeing so far this year, and Sam's going to do more of a summary. Just to highlight a couple of things, the building, office maintenance, and shop, we're still looking at hopefully over $1 million of savings versus budget. So basically the money we took out of reserves to get it going, we can get back and probably reallocate to other items. The treatment plant expansion, we committed to Corollo after budget last year to do a little bit more to make sure design could get done this year. So it's a little bit over budget, but the savings between the office and Old Ranch will just be reallocated to that, cover their additional costs this year. So capital budget looking good. Nothing over except treatment plant expansion, which we planned in its own way. Let's go down to customer growth. You'll see 68 new connections so far this request this year compared to 54 last year. So above last year, still significantly below the four-year average because of 21 and 22. And that'll be the case until those years fall out of my four-year average. They were just such an anomaly. Promontory on lots is almost exactly where they were last year. They sold 17 versus 16 last year. So,
is Steve?
Yeah.
Sorry, can you go back up, Chris? That 21.7% in the green column?
Yes.
Does that have any bearing on any of your financial models or anything like that, that we're seeing a kind of a drop in cost per?
The column I watch more is the per connection. The units can be a little thrown off. For a couple of years, we haven't had any multi-unit things come in.
Is this reflecting Studio Crossing or something like that?
This is reflecting the the Promontory employee house that's going in.
Oh.
So they've got like three or four buildings that they've paid for. So it just drives up the unit number without driving up the connection number. So that's why that is a little bit lower.
It just seemed like such a delta that I was curious if that was indicative of something
else. Yeah, because we haven't really had
one project.
Yeah, it's one kind of project. The purple column is probably the more important one to look at based on that's kind of the average impact fee we get. Since Promontories went up with this new impact fee, that's helping that average stay high, or that 7,100 number. Let's go ahead. Good question, though. Good cap. I actually haven't looked at that, to be honest. So June, okay, so this is kind of the oh my heck numbers. So in the top purple, the 412 acre feet of water, we thought 2021 was a pretty big year, 2020 big. That is more like what we've seen in our biggest July ever, that 412. So 56% above the four-year average and even significantly over what was a high year last year at 320. So that column, the Olympic Park is down. They haven't taken as much. In Park City, we're not wheeling as much. And Summit Water is obviously down because their allotment is down this year. But if you look at golf, Promontory Golf and our own customers. You can see where the usage really spiked. Promontory Golf, 209 acre feet versus 147 last year and 149 in 2021. If even when you smooth that into 6 months, we're still, you know, 30% above usage for our own customers, and Promontory Golf is 82% above. So again, May was more like June. June was like July. If this trend continues, we'll have some reserves to put in. We'll have some more capital reserves to fund some future projects is what will happen to the extra revenue. All right.
Are we running into any trouble in July? We've got to be coming up on our peak day, right?
Brian, Sam.
This time of year is kind of weird. You know, the shift in July, so we don't, you know, I mean, typically it's like right now.
We were just talking, driving around earlier today. You kind of feel like the system's not too far off running like it was in June. I mean, maybe a little bit increase, but yeah.
Hey, this is Joel. I have a question. If we have a fire, I mean, obviously it's a bad thing, but how much damage might be done and what's our exposure?
I mean, we have fire flow requirements in our tanks. It just depends on a bunch of factors, Joel, about conditions. And I mean, there's no way for us to mitigate against a catastrophic fire. We can try. But if there's wind, if it's dry, if the soil moisture is low, I mean,
there's no water system. But
yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go ahead and go down. Appendix A, if you want to look at that, that's more of the detail that I give you on the quarterly basis that builds more of the summary tables up top. And then let's go down to the graph. Cash, we kind of talked about that. So June was our highest revenue month ever because it acted like July, and then with the rate increases, conservation rates in place, it makes it even higher. For example, in 2024 in June, we had 21 customers who reached the most expensive level of water. Mm-hmm. This June, it was 54 customers who were paying $55 per 1,000 gallons. So we more than doubled the amount of customers that were in that highest tier.
Hey, Steve, what's the dollar amount of a bill in that highest thing?
We had a customer who used 650,000 gallons of water, so 2 acre feet. Their bill was about $30,000. Now, this is a customer who's seen $20,000 bills before, but it was still their highest usage month and their highest.
This residential?
Residential.
They maybe there was a leak in there.
There was a leak, but they've historically always been a big user. I think there were
200 people over 1,000.
Over 1,000. Was it
200 customers with over $1,000 water bill?
Yeah. Basically,
6,000 customers. So it's not, you know, we did the math on what an average person, you know, maybe increased a little bit. And we were talking
$10
or, you know, something very manageable. But you're using a lot or doubling or tripling your water and you're getting into those higher tiered conservation rates, it definitely will catch your attention on your water. I mean,
if you're using, let's say you're one ERC and you use a little over 30,000 gallons, which should be plenty to keep any lawn, you're still under $300. You're 280, 290 probably here. If you were 10,000 gallons, like most of you and some people here, whatever, you saw a 3% rate increase. You know, so you maybe went from $80 to $84 or $85. I mean, that's probably Brian, Karen, Mike probably saw that. So really, we really did try to let people have enough water to keep a reasonable yard green and do all their indoor usage without really increasing the bill. These are people who just, you know, they're going to use as much in a month as our average customer will use in a year. You know, that's when they start to feel the sting a little bit more. But if you're going through 130,000 gallons in 1 month, you know, that's a lot of water.
600, you said?
Yeah, we had 2 acre feet.
600.
Yeah, 2 acre feet seems...
2 acre feet.
I mean, that's like a water park.
And that's like 8 connections.
Oh, yeah.
Right, if you're using a quarter acre foot. If
yeah, 8 connections for a year.
For a year.
How many customer contacts did we get directly related to their bill being surprisingly high?
You'd have to ask Anna a little bit more.
A lot.
They have a lot. Yeah.
I mean, I know one woman came in.
Mm-hmm.
They had a couple calls, but I don't think it was.
Not anyone's really mad about it.
They more or less wanted
to also it. Yeah, they all know that they were wanting like crazy because it was hot. They just didn't. I think they just don't understand that the more they water, the more their bill is going to increase because of those tiers.
And I will say, I think I know at least one guy, this happens and we hear about it. People or property managers are managing, you know, residential areas and they may set a timer. And if it's going off in the middle of the night and you're not on ion water, you might not know that it's going every single night.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might not know that it's going from, you know, 11 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Or why you're in twice and
or if you're there, you're on vacation, you know, so that's why I think we've really been trying to promote ion water that you can be anywhere and pull up and you don't have to be awake. You know, you can look at it the next day when your water was running, how long it was running for, how many gallons you're using. So just to continue to keep trying to educate, I think.
They should see what they're being set at, basically, right?
Yeah.
Even if you're an absentee and you love your landscaper, not everyone's perfect.
I think that's exactly kind of what we want, right? Is somebody gets the shock and then they change their habits.
Yeah, that's what the conservation rights are designed to do, right?
And when we did the drought rates in 2022, that happened. They kind of got the first bill, the shock factor, and then they realized, oh, wow, I do need to cut back. And so I think we'll see some of that. Just for reference, the blue dot is even higher than what's budgeted for July. So,
yeah, I just feel like that's pretty unsustainable. So hopefully we're changing some behavior.
Yeah, yeah. It would definitely, if you had 2 or 3 months like this, it would sense that this is a big size.
It needs the rain.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's kind of the update. So, yeah, we've generated a lot of money now. And we'll,
like hey, Steve. Said,
we'll put it to good use, but down the road. Yes, Ian.
Are you going to have to change your scale next month up to 3 million?
I hope not. I really think we're going to see a plateau right there. I think we could see June and July being very similar this year, is what I'm thinking. Okay. But if not, I'll change my scale. And we'll plan to replace even more lines in Summit Park.
No egging Joel on. Come on, Steve.
It's his last one. Come on.
I'm laughing.
But yeah. Let's hope not, Ian. I really don't want that. I mean, I want our customers to be a little more conscientious about the water they're using. Even though I'm the money man or whatever.
Well, that's the other question is, you know, like, it looked like the golf course water was certainly a ton of usage, especially even compared to previous years.
There was a million gallon leak.
Oh, there was a million gallon leak. Come on, that'll do it.
That was in culinary.
Yeah, that was promontory. That was an irrigation meter, not the golf courses. Both the bigger golf courses used about 28, 29 million gallons. That's like the highest month they've ever had, or within fraction points of the highest month they've ever had. So both of those, you add both of those having their highest months ever and the short course actually on, you know, and it really does increase their usage a lot.
Yeah, because I mean, it looks like we're, you know.
Yeah, if you went, let's say, a figure of 150 acre feet when there were just two courses and we're up to 209. The short course yields is about half of what the big courses
yield. I mean, we're at 351 compared to 227 last year, which was,
yeah,
you know, I mean, we're higher than the very highest year.
I will say that one weekend when we did have some rain, the weekend of the fourth over here, the short course, was it short course or Nicholas? Nicholas course
was off like 4 days.
4 days. They didn't take any water. So they were, obviously what fell was, you know, they were responding to that. And they didn't take any water, which is unusual.
Yeah.
So I mean, they, you know, they're obviously very aware of what they're using.
And they started really early this year, too.
They started really early. Yeah. They started in May, and they usually don't.
Yeah, pretty fancy weather stations on the golf courses.
Yeah.
So at least they're awake at the switch, let's say.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions on finance update?
No, but it looks like you're also giving us a Wifia.
A Wifia, yes.
Wifia.
So last night, Andy, Lisa,
I have one more question, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
How much and by what percent are you expecting Corolla to go over the original bid?
They're not going over their bid. Is we'd set a budget, and then we got the final design numbers, and they were a little bit higher than what we budgeted. So that $300,000, I wouldn't classify it as an overage. It was just updated design to make sure it all got done in 20, or they could get what they needed to get done in 2025. But we knew we'd have some savings from some other categories to cover that overage. So I don't want, and it's not any bad reflection on Corolla or anything like that. They're meeting exactly what they said. Just the timing of when we got some final design numbers versus when final capital budget went in last year was a little off. Does that make sense?
Sort of, but what's the number? Like originally they were going to spend $200,000, now they're going to spend $300,000?
Like, it's more like over the 2 years we committed $3.1 million and we budgeted about $2.8 million.
Okay.
Over the 2 years, over 24 and 25.
Okay.
25.
Yeah.
25. Well, that's just 24, 25. There's
no, we approved a PO.
But we approved a PO for 26 already, but that's not, yeah, in here yet.
So it's like 300,000 over,
yeah, that's the one,
like $3 million contract.
Yeah, they're on contract, but we just hadn't budgeted enough by 300,000.
Yeah.
But we're going to reallocate budget.
That's 10%, and they're doing what you asked them to do. Yeah, I have no concern. Just wondering.
Okay. Sorry, I should have explained that better.
Nope, you're good. Thank you.
All right. Wifi update. So Andy, Lisa, and I went over to the county last night for the public hearing. There were a couple of people there that we to make public comment. So we went through the little presentation again, and then when they stood up, they were from Lake Rockport Estates and just very excited that we were going to be producing more water because that they think they'll be able to join sooner. We met, talked with them a little bit after, but it all went well. We got the term sheet from Wifia. Brian Baker and our attorneys have looked at it, put some red lines, a few adjustments. We'll be sending that back to them. Wednesday we'll have them kind of finalize what we're sending it to them now. We're going to meet with them Wednesday, probably sign the term sheet, just kind of keeps that process rolling. They've been asking good questions about, you know, this is what we saw here and here, and I sent them some more, and he's like, oh, yeah, that number ties, that's perfect. So I think it's progressing nicely, and they're really good to work with. So
great.
Yeah.
Well, I thought the article, you know, I mean, you know, it. I think it seems easier to swallow when we're doubling our capacity.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was definitely Chris Robinson hit on that yesterday. Like, it, you know, when you're going from, what is it?
2.6 to 5.5.
I got to bring those. Yeah. I mean, we're getting a nice bump in that and a source that'll serve the district well for a lot of years.
What was the article?
I saw an article, and I'm guessing it was the Park Record just because I still read the paper.
Was it this one?
No, this would have been probably
2 weeks ago.
Maybe a couple weeks ago. at least a week or so ago.
And then Lisa and I were on KPCW 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. It was last week.
Sometime in the past. So we've been talking about it a lot.
Yeah, Chris Robinson was on KPCW this morning as well, and he did a pretty good job of kind of summarizing last night's meeting.
Oh, goodness.
Specifically the Rockport Estates issue.
But yeah, so we'll keep you updated. It's kind of now getting all their final approvals and starting to work towards a close date, and then we'll see what rates happen. Like we've said, one of the wonderful things about the WIFI loan is we can watch until we have to draw down funds on if we can get a lower rate than on what the models have been built on, let's say. So,
okay.
Right. So did they have to make a, you know, did they have to make a recommendation or?
Yeah, they approve it once the public hearing, then they.
No, they approved the parameters resolution 2 weeks ago when we were there. That starts the clock for the 30-day, you know, contest period. And we just had to hold a public hearing in that time frame so public could comment. So we're just checking our boxes on as far as the bond due diligence goes.
Did the county council have to make some kind of motion last night, though, or is it just a motion to close the public hearing?
Close the
public hearing.
Thank
you.
Great.
I just want to already say it's all signed, sealed, and delivered, and I guess I just want to get ahead of myself at times. All right.
Any other questions of Steve? Okay, then Sam, you're up.
Maybe the engineering update first. So, just a quarterly update on all our capital projects currently in construction. I don't include any design projects in these write-ups, but we're definitely in the meat of construction season, and it feels like it. In general, I think everything's going pretty well. We've had a few surprises. We can give an update to our old ranch utility conflicts at the end, too. But starting off, the biggest project in the district we have going on is our waterline replacement, Matterhorn Terrace. It's going fairly well. We've got some pictures on the next page if you want to show those, Chris. They're probably about 40% of the way through the waterline alignment as of today.
It's a lot of rock.
Walking through, and they have encountered a lot of rock. So we're doing our best to, you know, manage that change condition. It's likely there's more rock excavation than we had included in our bid schedule, but still feeling pretty good about our budgeted number overall for the whole project. Geneva Rock has been good to work with and thorough and fair. They have a good project team, and their subcontractor for the utility excavation, S&S, has been really good to work with. I've been impressed with them so far too. There's no shortage of big machinery up there, so they definitely have the right tools for the job. And I'd say overall, the residents have been really good to work with as well. Geneva's running a shuttle for them full-time now to get folks in and out of Matterhorn with a little side-by-side. And generally pretty positive interactions with everybody.
So there's no vehicular access to...
It's limited.
Just during working, how is it?
Well, it depends on the situation,
yeah.
Where the open trench is in the road, et cetera. Right. But at any given time, if there's limited access to any residents, they have a full-time shuttle set up side-by-side, which has been working really well. Yeah. So that's Matterhorn. Browns Canyon Connection, this is a betterment that this project's been kicking around for a long time. It was envisioned prior to 2019 where it was in the impact fee facility plan, and it's finally just kicking off. So when I wrote up the quarterly project that week is when they really started the waterline work. You can kind of see the first two sections of waterline go in. There's two parallel waterlines in this photo just because of the nature of the water systems design, a higher pressure line and lower pressure line. To serve different portions of the master plan and subdivisions they've planned down to the south interpromontory. And again, that one's managed by Promontory, and that contract price is fixed. So we have Stacy, our project coordinator, doing the inspections for us. And that's been going, that's been working out really well so far as well. Highway 224 interconnect is that 2400 GPM pipeline that's connecting Park City and Summit along 224. Whitaker has been doing that project and has been generally doing a directional drilling method. This project has been managed by the Park City folks. We've been fairly hands-off, keeping tabs on and going to the construction meetings as our schedule allows, but no big hiccups to report there. They're a little behind on schedule where they'd like to be, but I think Whitaker's planning on throwing a second crew at it by the end of the month and try and make up a little bit of ground. So overall, I think that project's going about as smoothly as it could. All of our Summit Park projects, the three facilities, Innsbruck, which also the location of Summit Park Well 2, Summit Park Well 5, Summit Park Well 7. A lot of this is land in Chris's wheelhouse currently with the electrical improvements. And a lot of the work is being targeted post-irrigation season, post-peak season to wrap it up. The exception is Summit Park Well 7, where the electrical work is knocked out. Now we're shifting gears and focusing on getting the coordination system up and running. And there's a photo at the bottom of this page, Chris. So here's the new pad and all structured. How's the fiberglass enclosure for the new coordination system? Completed in-house by our ops folks. I thought they did an awesome job freshening the paint
and
up.
And since then, you put that other vessel on that pad, right?
Yep. The fiberglass enclosure has since been delivered and brought up to the Summit Park. So, yeah, we're starting to build even the housekeeping pads and doing the mechanical work inside the well building, and have almost all the necessary equipment on site. We're waiting on a chlorine analyzer, the electronic component of that, but I think that's our last piece to have everything in place to get this pumped up. So that project come along. Not a big upgrade on pump one. We've always planned on tackling this post-irrigation season in November. Pump's been procured, and we've been assured I'll get here in plenty of time prior to our November install date. And again, Chris is managing the electrical upgrades, including the new, the two pump sections are being involved, I guess, pump five section, pump one section. And Old Ranch, again, this is primarily electrical project at this point. Here's a couple progress photos just showing the concrete pad where the generator is placed. Again, this is constructed and built in-house by our transmission team. I thought it turned out really nice. I don't know, Chris, you have any Old Ranch updates, anything critical?
No, they had seen the generator on the pad that got delivered at the last board meeting, just days before.
So, awesome.
Yeah, they saw the finished pad.
Cool. Then there's just update project schedule at the end, like always. And then last thing to touch on, we didn't write up, not technically a capital project, but we talked about it two board meetings ago, I suppose. Where we had a conflict with the county drainage, storm, and channel relocation project that they have going on Old Ranch as far as widening the road and adding a bike trail.
I think it may have been just last.
Was it last meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Is that really why the Willow Creek pond is being closed?
That's because of ducks.
But anyways.
Yeah. So I was just curious.
Yeah. So update there is we've worked through a couple design alternatives we think would work to relocate our water lines. We've also worked with their project team to change the alignments on two of the culverts. So we're only down to two conflicts, down from four, which has helped a lot. There's still significant relocations with a 4x8 box culvert we have to loop under. And, yeah, the design concept generally revolves around cutting in tees around the looping project and creating a temporary bypass to restore water as quickly as possible. And recently the county has reevaluated their schedule, and they're considering pushing these two box culverts to in the next year, so 2026 construction, which would help us out a ton. We're looking at our pumping cycles and SCADA trends from last year, and around mid-October we really catch a break with pumping cycles on this transmission line, and we could accommodate a full day shutdown, which would make the project a lot simpler and a better plot long term, likely. So safer.
Are these changes a result of kind of the concerns you guys expressed last month with shutting down water to a third of Snyderville Basin in the wildfire season?
I think that, and we've gotten pricing back. I think that's helping it sink in for folks, the magnitude of what we're being asked to do.
Got it.
And the county has committed to offset some of that cost, but right now we're looking at north of $400,000 to do this.
That'd be our share, or
that's the current bid. We don't know what the split would be, but you can, I mean, at least probably going to be 200.
Yeah, that's the update. A couple things are still in flux, but I think we've got two viable solutions depending on project time to get us through. They obviously still come with a lot of risk, but it's the best we can do, I guess, with the hand we're dealt.
Did you get some help with that design?
Yeah, absolutely. So we could. We had one of our pre-qualified consultants, CDM partners, come help us with the ideas, design, and they actually did make a significant improvement to kind of the design we had in-house, just the nature of how the bypass was oriented, that I thought was a good improvement. Helped us think through a lot of things, like how to restrain thrust through the new loop, and we got a structural engineer involved to actually design what those blocks look like, and we came up with a pretty good solution there. So that was a big improvement, and we have a high level of trust working with those folks, so we didn't use the design engineer that the county used on their project. We used somebody we have history with, and I think that was the right decision. So that all turned out really nice. They were really responsive and helped us out in a tough spot. So that worked out great.
Do we have easements in place where this line is that would, I guess, kind of be an ace in the hole if...
No. Because we have signed a franchise agreement with the county and we're using their easements, part of the franchise agreement says we will move pipe, infrastructure, whatever, on our dime at their command.
Notice, though, do they have to give us?
I don't know. I can't remember specifically.
Unless there's 9 days.
Yeah, it's not a long period of time.
Excuse me. That'll be in there.
Yeah. And the problem is, it's really not a reasonable amount of time when you have to design something, procure something, and figure it out. And so I think the county's realizing they made a mistake, a little bit, of not getting us fully involved earlier this year.
Yeah, we should have built this October last year to get ahead of the project. 90 days or 6 years old. So that's the update on the capital projects, if we're good to move on there. Great. You want me to take this one off, Andy, or you want to? Me too.
So one of the things, as we have seen the cost come in on the treatment plant and what we went through last year with the school district and not having schools specifically called out into the IFFP, we thought it would be prudent to update this at this time so we can capture as many future impact fees to deal with the portions of the treatment plant that are eligible, and to also put a paragraph in there related to schools so it's a defensible argument. So Sam has been working with Bowen Collins to do an amendment to the plan
Yeah. So we complete our master plan in 2022, and then the IFP and IFA in 2023, I suppose, right? It's 23, right? So our typical cycle, I guess, again, would be to update our master plan 27 and then follow with an IFP and IFA. But yeah, we did kind of a mid-cycle adjustment, so we're not ripping up the IFP and starting over. And I like how this document's structured. It really serves as a true amendment. We're not reaching from scratch, and it's pretty brief. So Andy hit the 2 points. There's some language on schools, which we've run into issue in the past. And then essentially we're updating costs and schedules on the existing projects that were in the previous IFFP. So the master plan is not going to get touched as part of this update.
What about, that's just the new building. Is that the office?
Yeah.
What about the water treatment plant?
That would be one of the projects that's getting the cost and schedule update and the update to the IFFP. Yep.
I didn't see it in that list.
First one.
Orange.
Yep. And then, Chris, if you want to go down to the table at the end. So this is really what the IFFP boils down to. We do a master planning effort. We identify the projects we need for growth. We say when we need them, how much they cost, and then what percentage can we allocate to growth and what percentage we can't. And then that's where the handoff happens with the finance folks. We go to our financial consultant. Jeremy has been working with the folks in Zion, and they work up the impact fee. This is a draft we included to try and keep things on our timeline and keep things moving forward. And we were actually on the phone with the BCA folks this morning to help finalize everything. And the only changes from this draft to our proposed final version is just updating the interconnect project, the third row in that table. We have a construction number for the 224 interconnect, obviously, with the project bid and updated timeline for that. So that'll be updated in the final version, but there'll be no significant changes outside of that in the draft that's that was included in the board package.
So that's got Signal Hill at 42.
A Signal Hill number comes from the conceptual cost estimate from the Carlo folks of this year.
And that's what's into the WIFIA, you know, concept.
Yeah, including design costs and construction administration.
Okay, but what about there was an opportunity to sort of overfund it so you didn't have to come back? And how would you?
Yeah, I think that's the Steve and Lisa question on the WIFIA loan. I think that's probably unrelated to the IFP. But.
So the WIFIA loan, our projected takedown of it is, or use of it, is $34.3 million. And they've given us up to a little over $38 million that we could borrow. As you recall, that can only cover 80% of the costs. The other 20% has to come from our reserves, impact fees, other things like that. So that's how we get above to the $42 million and potentially above it. If we had to go, we had to use the full 38 from WIFIA and come up with more cash, you know, we could, whatever, have almost a $50 million project. We really hope it will be more like this number or a little bit lower, but that's where WIFIA kind of ties in. So right, it's kind of 80% of that $42 million number.
This is kind of my question is, that opportunity with WIFIA included in that 42.
Yeah.
Okay. How much is the office building? Is that on?
It's down a little bit. It was probably in here at
new building
23. That includes the land. If you recall, we paid a little over $2 million for the land, and we had budgeted about $20.7 million for the building and office and everything like that. And since that number isn't finalized, that's still working from the estimate of what the land and all the construction, what the budget was.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. If there's any additional comments, we can incorporate those when we roll it into a final version as well. But That's the only update you would notice from our proposed final version.
Do we need to make a motion to approve this or make changes, or do we just give you our thoughts? Or
yeah, this ultimately will need to be approved by the Summit County Council. So this is our presentation for you to make a recommendation pending the changes that Sam discussed about the interconnect update for us to take it to the County Council to get their final approval. So it's one of those recommended for their consideration. Yeah, with the condition of the update in a final form.
And then you'll come back on the other side on the IFA when we set rates and everything to approve that. So this is the recommendation, and then you have the ability to approve.
So do we have a sense of the change in the impact fee of...
Not fully yet, because you have to complete the IFFP first. And then once you have that, then you start doing all the math on the IFA and what the fee will be. Since we're using the same usage, but our numbers are getting higher, intuitively the number will go higher too. We're just not exactly sure how much.
Yeah, that separation's intentional.
Yeah.
It's what we need.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want one influencing the other too directly.
So do we have anyone who would like to make a motion?
Yeah. How do I say that though? I move to recommend the approval of the annexation. Nope, that's the wrong one. I move to recommend the approval of the amendment to the district's impact facility fee facility plan to the Summit County Council.
Pending revision.
Pending revision.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that's unanimous.
Number 7 has been withdrawn. We, after this packet was put together, we confirmed that this parcel has already been annexed into the district.
I did want to say nice work on all that. That's...
So to jump back, Corey, the franchise agreement upon receipt of its reasonable advance written notice to be no less than 30 days in the event of a temporary relocation, and no less than 60 calendar days for a permanent relocation, the grantee shall at its own expense, except as provided by law, blah, 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 move.
Is that subject to review, negotiation, or revision at any point in time?
We can always try, but...
Is there a schedule on that for...
This does not have an expiration date to it.
And that's... an agreement between Mountain Regional and Summit County?
Correct.
Would it be worthwhile to send some sort of a memo over to Summit County and say in response to, you know, or in light of recent events, we'd be interested in negotiating the terms of this franchise agreement?
I don't know if, I mean, we certainly can do that. Mm-hmm. I think this project has taught the county that they need to communicate more sooner.
Well, it's taught this iteration of the county, but
yeah,
you know,
it's true.
Less squared idea of what's incorporated into,
you know, if the procedure doesn't change, who's to say that 5 and 7 years from now the same or worse doesn't
happen? Yeah, I can bring it up to Dave.
I remember when this whole thing came down about the franchise agreement that Scott Morris was here. We tried to change stuff, and Dave was wearing both hats, but he was, you know, was pretty adamant that how the franchise agreement was written was how it was going to be. Mm-hmm. But I'm not in traction to get trying to move the needle.
Yeah.
From a lessons learned point of view and a practical point of view, I think we've got a little more ground to stand on.
I would hope so.
Yeah, and I mean, this is costing the county money because they realized their mistake. And it, you know, it's one thing to say you have to move a fiber line, but when you have to move a 10-inch water line that serves, you know, a third of your district during peak season, fire danger, and I think they're starting to get, it's significant. It's not insignificant.
Yeah.
We're going to see.
Did they at any point kind of fall back on the language of the franchise agreement?
Oh, yeah. So it's this project on Old Ranch and then the roundabout over by the tire shop and the gas station over by our office. We're going to have to relocate there as well.
Right. Yeah.
And from a capital standpoint,
I would be interested in at least talking to Dave and opening the dialogue about, you know, let's make the letter of the law match the reality on the ground.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, because after the last meeting, you know, I just fired off an email to John saying, we can't do this. And I got the pushback saying, yes, we are, and we're going to. And that's when he offered to pay for some of it. But they need to project out their projects so we can budget properly and design properly and understand what they're trying to do.
Right.
The good news is about the other roundabout, it's not going to happen another year.
Yeah, 2 years.
I think that's mostly my fault.
That's okay.
It's okay, they keep restriping it, so
yeah,
every day it's in a new adventure.
Which way am I going today?
So on our new shop, office and shop, if you've driven by there, the construction trailers have moved. Curb and gutter went down last Friday. The next 3 weeks you'll see paving go down. Things are moving along. They're doing a lot of touch up, final grading. We are currently on schedule and, as Steve said, under budget. We keep pounding them, you know, little by little. Don't just give Steve credit because they shouldn't let him spend any money. but collectively as a team, we walk through there every week and we question things, you know, just little things that we think make a difference, but we are very much looking forward to this space. The bike share program has moved into the other side, which has been an interesting, leave it at that. So that's that. Before I talk about the next item that's listed on the agenda today, I did receive a call from Nathan Lundstad from the Division of Drinking Water, specifically about Lake Rockport Estates. Some of the people that live over there have contacted their state representative, the governor's office. And so it is coming, it is pushing its way through from top down. As you know, we started talking to them over 2 years ago. They kind of dragged their feet for a year before Bowen Collins really was engaged. And so we continue to have conversations with them. There are still a couple of challenges, not just the water system, but getting the easement through Promontory, potentially through Rockport Ranches, the annexation process, whether they have 100% buy-in or not, but it's taking a life on of its own. So we have a schedule. We will have a meeting, not this coming week, but the following week that will involve the state representative, Mountain Regional, Bowen Collins, representatives from Lake Rockport. So I'll keep you posted.
I think we saw this coming 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We were just at a house that looks over that, and there is somebody building a brand new house up there, which I thought was bold. So maybe that's,
We were told they had a moratorium. It's interesting.
Yeah, it certainly looked like new construction, you know, and it's definitely going vertical.
Yeah. We'll keep you posted on that. The last thing that I have, as many of you know, Joel has sold his home here in Park City and is relocated to Midway. And with that, that is an automatic resignation from the board. I will tell you, from my perspective, our board meetings will not be the same. They will not be as colorful. We appreciate Joel and everything he's done, not only for Mountain Regional, but for everything he's done within Summit County and Park City. Joel, I do have a little gift certificate for you, but I'll just have to give it to someone else since you're not here.
Okay. Don't give it to Karen.
Don't give it to Karen. It's a one-night stay in Summit Park. Yep. But no water.
On Matterhorn Drive.
So, Joel, thank you.
A couple of things. Well, thank you very much. Andy, I will call you tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I want to talk to you about a few things. And I've really enjoyed being on the board. I'm going to miss you guys terribly. Except Karen. The only question I really have is a couple of things. One of them is, are we prepared for this dry spell? And is Mountain Regional Water really, really covered good? That's a concern that I have. Even though my rates aren't going to be affected anymore, I want to make sure that we're doing all that's possible to protect everybody. And God forbid there's a fire or whatever.
Yeah, Joel, yeah, the answer to that is yes. Bless you. The answer is yes. It's not something that we can sustain. You know, we hope there's rain and cooler temperatures, and so we can cut back a little bit here and there. Hopefully people's bills will force some conservation, but right now people have not cut back. Brian and his team, you know, and Chris, I mean, they're watching SCADA and tank levels and sources. And I mean, unfortunately this week's been a bad week for some leaks. But yeah, those guys are on it 24 hours a day.
I can imagine. I mean, God forbid we have a fire or it gets more and more and more dry. We'll be in a shitload of trouble. The other couple of things that I have, would be, Andy, the thing that you sent out, the one pager, do you have any comments on what she sent out?
What was the one pager, Joel?
You know, I don't have it in my office. It's a bloody mess. But it was the one that was, I think colored a number of times. It was like one page front and back. You know what I'm talking about?
When did I send it?
I think last week or the week before.
Did I?
I'll find it.
Did I send? Was it the email that Utah is the only state in the union that's in drought, top to bottom?
I can't remember.
Hey, that.
But I'll find it and we'll talk tomorrow.
Is it the report from Weber Basin on kind of where they're at on the drought? And the rates, remember, we were going to kind of how we mirror.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Weber Basin does with our drought plan.
We have to make a designation on that by April, right?
Yeah.
We can't put it, like, we couldn't enact drought rates now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't. We made that designation in April.
Yeah.
But don't we update it as the season goes on?
I don't think so. I think we have one shot at it.
I mean, we give updates on what the drought monitor looks like.
Yeah.
But I haven't prepared or submitted any.
Okay, that's fine.
But we'll decide if we need to implement.
When I find it, I'll I'll talk to him tomorrow.
Yeah, call me, Joel.
Yeah, well, because I want to hear your lovely voice.
I'll sing to you.
Karen doesn't have a lovely voice.
What?
He doesn't unload
him at the end, on
you. I think that's all I have. If not, I'll just talk to you tomorrow, Andy.
Okay, Joel.
Okay. Anything else?
Well, we still have questions on department updates, right?
Hey, Kevin.
Nothing? Ian?
Nope, nothing here.
I just wanted to congratulate Brian for no leaks in June. Great month to not have that. And then, you know.
Oh, my God.
And Chris is.
Forgot two this week.
Yeah. And Chris's report about the solar array and getting the, you know, the big refund and everything. Yeah, so.
It's a good thing because next year, if you're not completing your project by next year, it's gone.
Yeah.
That funding's gone.
Yeah.
Can we just give an update on the test we did yesterday about unplugging?
Yes, we mentioned it before that there's a demand reduction opportunity that we can take apart with Rocky Mountain Power and this other company, Enel. So they choose some sites that have fairly high demand electrically, and we have enrolled with our Bicycle Bluffs well, so the one well in Promontory, our treatment plant, and our Lost Canyon facility. With those three facilities, we would, if Rocky Mountain Power is having an unusual demand load on their system, they will call, it's an automated thing, it calls, and we have an opportunity within 7 minutes to kind of try and drive our demand down. So if we're pumping and we can, in a space where we can turn the pump off, Lost Canyon, if we can drop some of the pumps out, whatever demand that we can decrease our load by, we actually get cash back for it. Their proposal earlier in the year was using some different sites, but they were in the neighborhood of, you know, this is sort of sales talk, but in the neighborhood of 60 to 80 grand a year was potential, actual payback to us for curtailing our usage during times. And the usage windows are typically like only 20 minutes. So for us, the 20-minute window does not typically create that much of a heartache for us. We're able to shut stuff down for 20 minutes, resume pumping, and you know, most people, most facilities are not even going to know that we shut down for 20 minutes. So it's a nice opportunity. We did a test yesterday with two of the sites. The treatment plant is not completely online yet on their side. And we saw significant reduction in our demand. They were happy with it. And so as of August 1st, we will be up and running with this program. So we'll keep you abreast of how many, I'll probably add it to my monthly thing about how many incidents we have over a given month. And then I think I can't remember if it's annual or if it's quarterly that they cut us a check, but we'll let you know about that.
Fantastic. Fascinating.
Estimated savings?
Well, it's actually payment. It was, 60 to 80K a year. Given the number of power outage instances we've already had, I can only imagine that it's probably going to be that kind of a number. So.
And this is voluntary. So if we can't shut down, there's no penalty or anything.
Yeah, how does the 7 minutes work?
Yeah, we get a call. That's their window. That's as far as they can guesstimate that they're going to have an issue. So.
But they don't have control into our system.
No.
It's an opportunity.
Correct.
Yeah, they call us there. So when they first proposed this, it was a year ago, and the way it was proposed was they would have control over our system, and I was like, nope, not happening. And then when they came back to us this year, it was, oh, no, we call you and you shut down the stuff. Because I can only imagine, you know, we're pumping Lost Canyon at 7,000 gallons a minute, and they pull a plug and, you know, water hammer pipes blow up, right? Like, don't want to park that.
So they put some monitoring things on the two sides, and they're, is it on what? The treatment plant? Yes.
The one at the treatment plant is the one that's not operational right now. But we actually have visibility to that 24/7. So I can see much more granular data than we can on our bill, which is also a good thing. I can see by minute what our demands are at a given site. One of the interesting things is when we did the test yesterday, I was actually watching our internal power monitors at Lost Canyon compared to what they were saying. They were really close. It was I was thankful to see that they were so close to him. So
yeah.
A good opportunity.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay, any other questions? Yes?
Well, I did have an update from the Human Resource Committee.
Oh. I'd
like to do that.
Does it have to be on the agenda?
Just put on it.
Marnie, you're not taking an action, so.
Okay. It
could be like an LT.
Okay, then let's get an update.
We completed our three interviews with the staff and went well, but I'm not sure of our next step. I would appreciate some direction on what we, where we go next. Who do I report to? What do we do?
Yeah, this is Joel. I think, well, this is just my opinion. I think we need to be with Andy and just give him some feedback, good, bad, or indifferent. That's really, I think Andy would benefit from that. Again, good, bad, or indifferent. But that's up to you guys what you want to do.
Would it look more like a written report from the personnel committee to management?
I don't know. We're kind of exploring here.
Right. I think, you know, something along those lines, at least that way there's a paper trail. And the actionable items can be documented if there are any.
Yeah, I mean, were there areas of concern that should be shared with the group, or do you feel like you guys can cover that with Andy?
You know, I mean, going back to the responses we got from the staff, like 95% of them is 7, 8, or 9 responses, and we were kind of looking towards, you know, did we miss anything? And, you know, everything I got back was fine with 7, 8, 9.
Okay, great. So you felt like the report that we got was similar to what you guys found when you interviewed
people. That's well said.
And maybe what we can do before we do our survey again this year is get input questions from the board that we can include. But if you want to debrief before then, you can buy me lunch. It's fine.
We have to.
Okay. You know, I think lunch is a really good idea. I'm more than happy to attend. That's going to be really expensive. That's a joke.
The Karen parts weren't.
I know. I thought I was waiting for you to say, as long as Karen's not invited.
Well, that's up to you, Karen. Whether you want to attend or not.
So maybe we should put something on the agenda for next month, and then we could, I don't know. I wish Dave was here, but if, I don't know if we can say we're going to go have lunch, you know, or what are we going
to do? If you're going to bring it before the board, it will have to be done in closed session because it's personnel.
Right. That's what I've kind of been.
But if you want to debrief before, if you want to include human resources in that, Lisa?
I mean, you could go into executive session. I mean,
Tonight?
Tonight. It's on the agenda. We agended it. So if you wanted to go into an executive session and have a discussion about what you'd like to do and excuse all of us.
I think that makes sense to me.
Okay. Is personnel right? Related?
Yeah.
We just would have to have an affidavit. It's not recorded.
Okay, so do we have a motion to go into executive session?
So moved.
And a second?
I'll second.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we've come back out of executive session. It was Corey and seconded by Mike, and it was unanimous. Anything else before we adjourn? Would anyone like to make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned at 7:51.